Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now then, we're going to talk to Dr. Matt Morgan in the UK. He's written a brilliant new book called Critical, in which he guides us around the intensive care unit and tells us what his job entails and the stories of many of the patients he's treated over the years. I know that many of our regular listeners know that I'm fascinated by anything medical, and I'm delighted to welcome a very busy Dr. Matt Morgan to the show. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Bill. Great to speak to you, and thanks for the opportunity.
No, thank you, sir. Let's start back in the day for you. I mean, you've ended up working in the world of intensive care. Is that something you chose? It sounds like something that you would evolve into rather than accept pressure from the moment you decided to take up a medical career.
Yeah, it's strange. I told my careers tutor that I wanted to be Fox Mulder from The X-Files, actually. coming from a small Welsh comprehensive school, that wasn't an option. But actually, you know, for me, every day is filled with science, stories, mysteries, and trying to solve them. So in many ways, it's kind of similar. Only medicine is probably a more dangerous career choice than Fox Mulder, given you know, those stresses and strains and the other things you mentioned, really.
Absolutely. And you're really at the sharp end of this, where intensive care is a matter of life or death, and it's a matter of urgency as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, every day I meet patients who are literally on the brink of life. It's the worst day of their lives. It's the worst day of their families' lives, but at the same time, you know, yes, that's stressful, but that also brings almost a glimpse into humanity. You know, the difference we can make is also the biggest, so it's simultaneously tough and good.
I'm fascinated that the first recognised case of intensive care was in Copenhagen in 1952, in which a little girl was saved. What was it called before that, then?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, history always has controversy, and of course there are other areas who will claim, you know, they had the first patient or the first machine. But really, before this little girl called Vivi, who was a 12-year-old girl who loved dancing, who developed severe polio, before she was looked after, there was really no one place in the hospital that looked after people on breathing machines. It was just made up on the spur of the moment. And it was really the effect of that little girl who really developed into the intensive care unit.
When we talk of being critically ill, is there a medical, clinical definition of when you cross the line to being critical?
We would probably call it when you have organ failure.
Right.
So be it your brain, your kidneys, your liver, your lungs, when any of those stop working completely and need to be supported, those are the people that we look after.
And I guess at the kind of forefront of that are the crews who arrive first upon the scene, and wonderful work they do in A, making the diagnosis, and then B, getting the patient quickly to hospital. I imagine time is of the essence.
Absolutely. And in fact, you mentioned time, Bill, and time is everything, really. Yeah. You know, even though we have a lot of medicines and machines and technology, actually, most of the time, what we do is give people time for their bodies to recover. Yes, we use antibiotics and surgery and other things, but actually that time is crucial. Mm. And we work with lots of different specialties all over the hospital, from A&E to heart doctors to surgeons, and we kind of orchestrate the care of the sickest people.
And I would guess, Matt, that when people are critically ill, they're maybe not in any fit state to tell you what their symptoms are, and you've got to be diagnosing that on what you see in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were told in medicine that history is everything. In other words, stories are everything. Sadly, most of the time, those stories have to come through us talking to family, through us talking to others, and us examining every bit of people's bodies and scans and blood tests and almost forming our own stories, really. And that is a crucial part of it.
Technology, I imagine, has become a key player in assisting you to make those diagnoses quickly. How has it advanced in the time since you started medicine, Matt?
It certainly has, and we now have technologies for diagnosis that we can use at the side of the road. We use ultrasound, and
Incredible.
That's a technology born in, you know, the shipyards of Glasgow initially to find faults in ships' hulls. And things like ultrasound and CT scanners and MRI scanners and other things really have changed things. You know, ultimately, the machines we use, however, they don't fix problems. They just give us time to fix problems. And what we are entering into the world of now is often what we should do rather than what we can do. And those moral dilemmas and those moral questions in medicine are becoming more salient than ever.
There's a lot of programs on television these days showing the work of surgeons like yourself. There was a fascinating series on Channel 5, Operation Live, which I was absolutely hooked by, Anders. But one on the BBC, I think it's called Your Life in Their Hands or something of that nature, where they're dealing with critically ill people. And what's amazing about all of them is, A, the skill and the patience of the surgeons, but B, the team. It's very much a team thing, isn't it?
Completely. And I'm not a surgeon. I'm an intensive care doctor by trade, so we orchestrate those complex teams. But, you know, one thing about my book I've written is it's very much not about me.
Yeah.
So the book is about patients, and the book is about the systems, the nurses, the porters, the cleaners, the physiotherapists, the speech language therapists, and it's bringing those people together in the right way, at the right time, for the right people. That really is the key. And yes, you know, there's lots of exciting programs about, you know, the surgeon under pressure making an incision in the right way, and that's really important. But it's not, and it can't be everything. It's very much about that healthcare team.
So your role then would be, you would get a call to say that somebody is coming in an ambulance, and they think what's happened to them is they've had heart failure or whatever it may be. You then have to make that diagnosis, get them to a stable condition, where I assume you then pass that on to an operating theatre and a surgeon.
Yeah, and surgery is only one small part of it. So, you know, just this week, I've looked after people who've had cardiac arrests. Know, in the place of work, they come into hospital, we work out what was wrong with them, which may be a heart attack, we treat those things, and then we support their bodies, we support their organs, and we support their family in the intensive care unit ourselves, and we dictate and oversee the care of that patient all the way through to hopefully them regaining consciousness, they're getting better, and them going home. So it's really a complete trajectory of that patient's care, really.
The family you mentioned there obviously is a really important part. It's the worst thing in the world to be told that one of your family has been admitted to hospital with something really bad wrong with them. There's panic, there's trauma going on in people's minds, they're not thinking straight. And you are the one, I guess, at the forefront of that who has to, first of all, explain to the family what's going on.
Yeah, every day normally includes me telling family members that their loved one, their brother, their sister, their husband has sometimes actually died and sometimes is critically ill. So, you know, every day we're telling families the worst news of their life. And yes, that's tough. Again, we like to think we're expert communicators. We do that a lot. And it also, you know, people ask, how do you deal with that? How do you go home and pick up your children and bath your children and speak to your wife? But for me, it actually makes me appreciate life. You know, it's a glimpse into humanity.
Yes.
And yes, it can be sad, but it also allows you to revel in the wonder of life, really.
Absolutely. And I guess, Matt, you have to kind of inside your own head come to the decision that you are going to be the kind of person who will be brutally honest, or honest in a way that at least you're not giving them false hope. And that must be a difficult decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we don't bring people to the intensive care unit unless there is a chance of them getting through it. You know, we're very clear about that.
Yeah.
What that chance is changes. You're right. You know, honesty is so important. But so is sometimes saying three of the most underused words in medicine, which is, I don't know.
Mm.
And I probably say that phrase every day. You know, families will say, will they be okay? And most of the time, the honest answer is, I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I guess there is also an I don't know, because you can't know everything. And when you're presented with somebody who's critically ill, yes, you may have dealt with that particular issue before, but you may not have done. And you're kind of on the hoof there, aren't you? Learning on the job, effectively.
Yeah, but, you know, humans are amazing. They're hugely resilient. They can fight against things that we never thought were winnable. We can see dreadful brain scans and people go back to work. On the other hand, we can see minor injuries, which should be minor, and the outcomes are not as good. So, yeah, I don't know is often the most honest thing I can provide.
Well, I know you're a very busy man. I'm going to let you go. The book is a great read. It's called Critical, and it really is about, as you say, it's not about you. It's about real patients, you know, on the brink of death and how you fight against the odds to help them live. I certainly think, Matt, that people like you should be earning what footballers earn. It really annoys me when I see the Lionel Messis of this world earning billions of pounds, and there's people like you who are saving lives every day. You know, I can't thank you enough on behalf of the members of the public and people I know that people like you have saved their lives. Thank you for joining us this morning, Matt.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for your time.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, Matt. Bye-bye.